Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Got a good show lined up today. We got good old Buddy Martin from the Buddy Martin Show here in just a second. Second portion of the program will be joined by former Gator wide receiver Travis McGriff. But first, let's go ahead and head on over to Ocala on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline and talk to our good friend Buddy Martin. Good morning, Buddy. How are you?
Good morning, Shane. Merry Christmas to everybody there. And it's a nice chilly morning in Ocala. Always glad to get a chance to talk to you first thing on Tuesdays.
Yeah, I know. I know you look forward to it each and every week,
I do.
Buddy.
I do.
Where you want to start, buddy? We got a lot to talk about today.
Oh, wow. You know what?
You want to talk about the Gators or you want to talk about the college football playoffs first?
Well, it's your show.
Yeah, well, real quick, before we get started, Joe here on the Titan MR hotline says, good morning, Gators. Rest in peace, Kevin Green. And absolutely, yeah, Kevin Green was a teammate of mine with the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. I was there 2 years with him. You know what's interesting? Kevin Green was – I can't remember. This was like my fourth year in the league, maybe fifth year in the league, and he was an older player, obviously. Mm-hmm. Just one of those great guys in the locker room. You know, sometimes – if you're Pro Bowl type player, you don't talk to the guys that aren't starters, or whatever. But he was one of the greatest guys, greatest teammates. And the one thing I'll never forget about Kevin Green, and I don't know if you've heard this story, buddy, Kevin Steele, who is the defensive coordinator, is getting a lot of news at Auburn right now, and we'll talk about him in a minute. He was a linebackers coach for the Panthers at that time. Dom Capers was the head coach.
Okay.
Kevin Steele and Kevin Green got into a slugfest on the sideline during a game.
Really?
I sat there and watched it. They were going – I've never seen a fight like this on the sideline between a coach and a player. But, of course, after the game was over, they made up. But I'll never forget that as long as I live. But, yeah, Kevin Green, I haven't heard anything of what caused this. Have you heard anything?
No. Was he like 58 or something or that? Was
58
he that
years old. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, I know once he was done playing, I think he got into the professional wrestling a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you hate to think about that and speculate, you know, but he was you would know this better than I, but he was a menacing defensive player. And he seemed to always be able to find an angle to the quarterback, you know? Yeah. And he didn't physically overpower you, but he was strong and he was quick and he was smart. And he's a heck of a player and a guy that probably gets lost in the shuffle along the way. So we should remember him, and RIP Kevin Green.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, let's talk Gators first. Buddy, I think, you know, we talked before last Tuesday. I wasn't concerned, but I really thought we may get blown out in this game. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, I tip my hat to our coaching staff, to our players. I thought we played extremely hard. As Trask says, just ran out of time. And sometimes that happens. But I thought it was a pretty good performance by the Gators.
Yeah, I'm hearing from all kinds of people because you and I are kind of close to it. Where the first half you were gnashing your teeth at all the things we talked about. I mean, the mere fundamentals of getting lined up seems like it's a task. You know, all the frustrations of making the third down mistakes, all those things. It's like a badger. It's like deja vu. It happens all the time, and you tend to get discouraged. And I wrote a tweet at halftime. It's discouraging when you can't line up right and you keep making mistakes on third down. It's hard to watch. I had people text me, "I'm turning it off. I'm done. I can't. Whatever." Well, boy, what a third quarter. And this is the part. This to me, and you know this, is where you build your will. You want a team to have the resolve that Coach Spurrier always talks about and the willingness to fight through it. What did Coach tell you? Keep playing. Keep.
Yeah, good things are going to happen. Bad things are going to happen. Yeah. You just got to keep playing.
Yeah, and you know that better than anyone. You played in the league. So just to sum it up, I thought about it. I thought, I'm not going to write today until I sort this out in my brain. And when you look at big picture here and say, okay, in the scheme of things, what's important is you have another building block. You just played Alabama, for all it's worth. You lost by 6 points. And to quote the old Bobby Lane quote, which is where this came from, and my friend Doak Walker, the late Doak Walker, a great guy, he and Bobby were really close friends. He quoted him once as saying, Bobby always said, today he didn't lose, he just ran out of time. Well, that's precisely what it was there, because if you look at that game and you see Kyle Trask on his own 12-yard line, unfortunately, they squandered a timeout, which is a subject for another day. And if they just had, and I have some people very close to Kyle that I know very well, who said if he just would have had 1 minute, just 1 minute, he believed, and you could tell this, Shane, he thought he could take the team downfield 88 yards and score. And as he said, score, kick the extra point, and win. When you get that close, when you compete, when you're down and out, when you come back and fight back as a team, you know you got something special. So the legacy of this year's team, when they finish playing the Cotton Bowl, hopefully will build that for Dan Mullen.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, I know Gator fans were frustrated during the year when we couldn't get lined up or whatever. I think that's one thing we have to address. And I've always said, buddy, I think we play too many players on defense. If you look, we rotate so many players, and I really believe it's to keep people happy, and the hell with keeping people happy. You know, if you ain't good enough to be one of the starting 11, you're going to have to wait your time or beat somebody out. And if you don't like it, transfer. I think that would solve a lot of problems, because when you hold Alabama to 0 points in an entire quarter, you're doing something right. So, yeah, it was a phenomenal game. I thought when you look at the offenses of both teams, you saw probably six of the best players in the country on the field. You know, with Trask, Tony, and Pitts, and then the other side, Najee Harris, Devontae Smith, and Mac Jones. I thought everybody played outstanding. It was fun to watch. We just came up a little bit short, but heck, I don't think anybody's beating Alabama. I think that'll be the toughest game out. Well, Clemson's going to give them a good game if they meet.
Could.
But it was a good year. I think I read Trask is going to play in the bowl game. Wonder if it wasn't. Well, it's what he's made up of. I wonder if the bowl game wasn't in the state of Texas, would he opt out? But, you know, anyway, enough of that.
One point on that, Shane, is very important. There's a legacy here. The first Trask to play in the Cotton Bowl was 1954, when Rice beat Alabama and Kyle's grandfather played for the Rice Owls. How about that?
I didn't know that. You've been digging and doing research.
I've been digging. I have. And I'll tell you something else I believe is accurate. This is way before even my time, but no, it's not. There was a famous play in that game when the running back for Rice, by the way, Rice was a good team. They obviously beat Alabama like 24-6. A player broke free, was about to score, and a player from Alabama came off the bench and tackled him. The player running the ball was Dickie Maigle. I remember that. And so in that same game, Trask's grandfather, who later played for the Houston Oilers, by the way, played in that game. So there's a little history. Now you hope that Kyle can have a little better results than he had going back to the stadium, which he was named after, Kyle Field. And unfortunately, losing that game on a tough one, a fumble, you know, and him going back to Texas, I hope for him. It's all coming together because, like I said, quoting Bobby Lane, a Texas quarterback, you know, he's a Texas quarterback. He's going back to his roots. I'm happy for Kyle. I hope he has a big day. But I'm telling you, talk about getting boat raced. Alabama could boat race him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm buddy, Oklahoma. Oklahoma could boat race him.
You think Oklahoma could boat race us?
Yeah.
Blow us out? I don't see that happening.
Speed they got. They got unbelievable.
When you say boat race, that means you get blown out the building.
I think it's a danger that could happen. Because they're finding their stride now. They're a team. No,
Oklahoma's a very good offense. Now, I did read where I think two of the defensive back, two starters in the secondary for Oklahoma have opted out. And I'm sure there's going to be more. I'm curious to see if we have more kids opt out besides Pitts.
I think Tony might. That's just a hunch. I mean, and I'm not so sure he shouldn't. Maybe he should.
Yeah, and you know, Terry Norvell brought up a good point on a show that he and I do with Coach Spurrier.
I saw it, and it was a very good point.
His point is, for people who didn't see it, is the only way the college football playoff system is going to expand is if the TV folks get, his thoughts were if the TV people get in. Because let's use the Cotton Bowl. It's a New Year's Six. It's one of the major bowl games. Okay, let's say Kyle Trask opts out or opted out. Let's say Spencer Rattler was a senior. He opted out. Okay, who's going to want to watch the game? I mean, obviously, some of the fans and some of the parents. But the big picture is the national TV stations are expecting a lot of viewers for those players because it's a huge bowl game. Well, if these games don't mean anything, people are going to quit watching them. So TV's going to have to step in and say, look, you're going to have to expand it to all the major bowls, whether that's 8 or 10-team, 12-team playoff, and go from there. I think it's a brilliant idea.
It is, and it speaks to the very thing I've been talking about for 3 years, which is what to do with the playoffs and why. If you go back to my – I hate to bring it up again. I know you get tired of hearing it. The buddy plan of several years ago, and the one I invoked again this year, is that you have to expand the playoffs to make up for the fact that the bowls are not important anymore. And they're even less important, as you pointed out, Norvell pointed out, because of the opting out. There's no question in my mind, something has to give. Think about it. The 1 year they needed it was right now. They need to have 10, 12 teams. It's fine. You know, that's not only, you know, you take how many games it is. That takes the place of all the bowls, as Norvell pointed out, as I've said many times, you don't need them. Then you have the bowls for the holiday. You take your teams to these bowls and at Disney World, have a good time. You play and let the families enjoy. But you play the playoffs in the postseason by expanding the number of teams. And then you give Cincinnati's of the world a chance, you know, which I think is your point. You want to see that. You're a big fan of that. And I told you, okay, I that's good too. More I thought about things, you know, that is a way to bring in the Cincinnati's of the world and give them a shot.
I mean, why shouldn't Coastal Carolina be playing Alabama week in the first round of the playoffs? Who cares if they get blown out?
They earned it.
Yeah, you never know. Refresh your vehicle and your brand with a vehicle wrap from Wrap Spot. December is your lucky month at Wrap Spot. Mention promo code Shane, receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. Speaking with Buddy Martin on the Titan MR Hotline from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. All right, buddy, real quick, coaching here at Florida. You think Brian Johnson's back?
Unless he gets a great offer, and who wouldn't? I think right now I think he's coming back. But I think he might be a year away, but he's going to be going. He's a real key part, and I liken this to Urban losing Dan. Remember? And even Urban brought it up the other day in our podcast, which, by the way, may I just say, don't forget, Best Fridays in Football with Urban Meyer and Terry Bradshaw. They were great last week. So, yes, I think he's coming back this year.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. You know, a lot of people all over social media think Dan's going to do something with Todd Grantham once the bowl game's over. Your thoughts?
Well, let me ask you this question. What's the obligation of Dan Mullen? And this is a hard one. It's not easy. By the way, I favor keeping Grantham. I think he's proven himself enough in 3 years. And defensive coordinators don't fall off the back of turnip trucks. But if you can improve your team, and this is true of a player, if you can get a grad transfer to come in as a five-star and be your starting quarterback, would you take him over your guy? I mean, that's a tough call. If you thought Kevin Steele was the best guy for this program, I just use his name. I don't know that he has any interest, but he's not going to get the head job apparently now at Auburn. If you thought you could bring him in and to replace Todd Grantham, would you?
I guess you got to sit down and, I mean, Kevin Steele's a very good defense coordinator. I think there's a lot of good ones. I think Ty Grantham's a good defense coordinator. I think we need to simplify things. And honestly, buddy, I don't think we have great talent over there either. I don't think we have SEC caliber talent. Nothing against those kids, but I said from and back told you in August, we're not big enough up front.
You said that. You couldn't get heat on the quarterback. You're right. The back end was weak.
And but what's crazy is we led the league in sacks.
I know. Because of the scheme.
Do you know where we stood at the end of the season in total defense?
No, but I'm guessing probably midway.
We're like third.
Really? Well, that's yardage? What is that?
I don't know. Somebody showed it the other day. Total defense. Yeah. We were third. I think Alabama was second. I can't even remember who was first.
Well, look, we understand. Here's the only issue we got here. And maybe this is – hey, you know what? Think about this. Maybe it's part of the scheme that Todd Grantham lets his guys kind of amble around so they're not in place to the snap. Maybe that's part of what he does. I don't know that. It sure is frustrating to see guys not being lined up when the snap takes place.
Here's what I'd like to say. Here's what I would like to say. Is there – we lost three games this year. Mm-hmm. Can you sit here and tell me we lost those three games because of our defense?
Well, maybe, but that's necessarily – if you really? Go back to the turn – well, here, look, let's stand with it. We know what happened in Texas A&M. It was a fumble. You know. Now, that's
right.
Not
it
a guarantee.
It was a hell of a football game.
Look, they lost three games by a few points in a few seconds, okay? So I'm not finding fault here. I like Todd Grantham. I'm just asking my job is to ask the questions so we can honestly answer these on my show tonight with you and on your show on Tuesday morning. I don't blame the defense. Let's just call it like it is. But when you make mistakes repeatedly, which are the killer third down mistakes, not getting off the field. Come on, man. Yeah. You can't
right.
do that.
But here's my argument to that. Third down, Saturday night in the Georgia Dome or Mercedes-Benz Dome, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Alabama was 10 of 15 on third down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the Mighty Gators were on third down?
No, but they were pretty good.
8 of 11.
Yeah.
Okay. 8 of 11, and we gave up. They gave up 46 points. So if you're an Alabama fan, are you complaining about your defense coordinator today? I'm just asking.
Look, fans are never going to be happy. The Alabama fans are not happy about giving up 56 points. You know, there's always going to be. That's part of the game we're in today. I don't know the answers. And I'm not – look, at the end of the day, when I got through watching that game, I turned off my TV, went to bed, and didn't write for a day because I wanted to get a little perspective. And what my thoughts were, Shane, I don't care about – the defensive coordinator. I don't want to go down that road writing about fire Grantham. I don't want to go down that road. I'm going to stop and just show gratitude for a great bunch of kids mm-hmm. getting through this time with a terrific and being in the hunt every time and competing at the highest level. What else can you want from your team, Shane?
Yeah. Dan says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Metal Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. The last drive of the first half. Oh, my. To have that back, run out the clock, and don't have Bama go for a TD with a minute remaining. I agree. But then from a coaching standpoint, too, if you wait, who knows? You miss a field goal. You get stuffed. You fumble. You never know. Yeah. It's easy to second guess. I mean, yeah. I totally get where you're coming from. So with the coach, I don't think any coaches are fired for next year. I think they're all coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And fans need to really, like you said, buddy, enjoy what we just had. It was a phenomenal season. It didn't, you know, we still had three losses by 12 points, but it was a rough season on these kids and these coaches. And enjoy it, soak it in, because we're going to be a totally different football team next year.
Yep. Yeah.
You ain't going to see a bunch of balls. You ain't going to see a bunch of balls in the air.
No.
Get ready for quarterback runs.
A lot of those, for sure. We'll see what Dan's great at adapting, though. I'll give him that.
No, he is, and I think he does great with that. But, I mean, look, you have passers, and then you have dual-threat guys. Mm-hmm. Dual-threat guys cannot be passers.
Right.
Okay? I don't care what you've seen at combines, what you've seen in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, we will be a totally different offense next year. Book it. But there we go.
Yeah,
all right.
Be interesting. Well, a lot of our RPOs.
Yes, a lot of run game. Mm-hmm. The Tennessee Vols.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Whether Jeremy Pruitt had COVID or whatever, I am so happy that Army's going to play in their place because Army deserved to be in a bowl game and not Tennessee.
Can't have three wins going to a bowl.
South Carolina's got two, and they play a bowl game.
But we all know it's an exhibition, which tells you what these games are. they're exhibition games.
Well, that's true, but in the past, you had to have a winning record.
I know, but I mean, that's what it's become to right now. It doesn't matter what your record is. It's selling tickets. If you can get the Vols to the Music City Bowl, you know, and do better, that's what you do. That's why, again, we go back to expand the playoffs, let them take over the postseason. Now you've got a great postseason. Imagine if we had, if Florida was in a play, if they took the top eight this year and Florida was in, it was in the first, how much better would that be than the Cotton Bowl? No offense, Cotton Bowl, which I'm glad to see is back because they dropped it for a long time. So, yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's Tennessee, I guess he did test positive. He's lucky. He's lucky he didn't get fired because there's a lot of angry Tennessee fans.
He still could get fired.
I don't think he will, no.
Well, if you're a Gator fan, you want him to stay there because they're not going to be any better.
But Shane, who are you going to hire?
I mean, I'd go hire somebody that knows offense.
Well, let me tell you something. 5 years ago, John Adams, a very fine columnist in the Knoxville News Sentinel, was calling me in a panic because Tennessee couldn't find anybody to hire. Did I have Charlie Strong's number? You know, that was 4 or 5 years ago. And I thought, here's Tennessee, mighty Tennessee, with the ghost of Robert Nalum, the general there, all the great tradition. They can't find a coach, and they still haven't found one. So you better hang on to what you got, Shane. Because they're
like I said, if you're a Gator fan, you want them to hang on what they got.
Of course, and you want to hang on to what you got.
You're going to sit and you're going to win 2 or 3 games next year. Trust me.
Yeah.
As bad as they are on offense, and they ain't getting any better until they make a coaching change.
I agree.
I'm telling you, they're bad. Buddy, real quick, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, what's going on in Auburn? You've had Billy Napier turn them down. Bill Clark from UAB turn them down. They're probably going to end up hiring Kevin Steele, huh?
Maybe. I thought Clark was going to be the guy, though. I would love to see that because what he did at UAB and the way he stood tall when the program went down should be rewarded. But it didn't work out. You know what? And they got a problem. And the problem is they got too damn many boosters who want to get involved in it. You can't run a program like that. Boosters can't hire the coach. When Nick Saban came to Alabama, he said, I don't care how much money you got. You're not going to run my team. And that's what has to be done at Auburn. It's a beautiful place. It's a terrific football school. But you got to get the boosters out. You'll never get them completely out. But the fact is, you got to put them. Somebody has to put a governor on the boosters at Auburn. And I didn't think Malzahn was that bad. I thought they should have stayed with him. Because look what they got now. Nothing.
Yeah, Dan says here on Facebook Live, Malzahn to Tennessee.
Could do worse.
Yeah, no, I don't want that. I think here's what I don't understand about Gus Malzahn is he got himself from a high school coach to a college coach because of his offensive mind, his play calling.
He handed it off.
They win a national championship with him calling plays.
Mm-hmm, and they take off.
And after a few years, he turns the play calling over to somebody else. That makes no sense to me. You know, if you're in charge and that's what got you the job,
right?
You need to keep doing it. That would be like Dan turning everything over to Brian Johnson. Now, I'm not saying Brian can't do it, but I'm saying if that's what got you where you are today, you need to keep doing it.
Well, you know who else did that? Coach Spurrier. He made that mistake in South Carolina, which he admits was a mistake. He let some of those other guys call his plays.
That was for a few games, and then he said,
part of the season. He says he made a mistake there. And I know Norm Carlson and other guys begged him, don't give it to somebody else. You're one of the best in the game. Now, and I can understand if you're calling plays and something's not working. It's like playing a poker hand and saying, play a poker table, I guess, is you can't get any cards. After a while, you say, I'm gonna get up and get out of here and go do something else and go to the craps table. Because you want to have somebody else come in and do it. So, yeah, I don't know. That's a very key thing. You're right. And Malzahn should never have given that away.
Yeah. So, what else, who you got on the show tonight, buddy?
It's going to be you, and then I'm going to have David Moulton. We always have David do the roundup of the SEC. And we'll probably have Ainsley Lee. Can I just do a shout-out to Ainsley Lee of Gator Bait? She graduated, and she's an up-and-coming star. She's going to be great. She does stuff for Gator Bait. I'm very proud of the GatorBait work we're doing. If you haven't come out, just say if you're interested in knowing about it, go to GatorBaitMedia.com. Check it out and see we're getting more members every week, and people are realizing that, Shane, where are you going to go to read about the Gators? Because there are not many newspapers anymore, and a lot of the people that you know that used to write don't write there anymore. It's different. Well, we're on it every week, and we're proud of our work. I love what Franz Beard does. Cassidy Hill is terrific at what she does. She'll be covering the Cotton Bowl like she covered the SEC Championship. And, of course, Ainsley Glee. I'm really proud to have these two young women who are really good writers.
You know, speaking of writers and stuff, I'll be damned, Dooley and Robbie Andrew, ever since they retired, were 1-2.
I think we should blame them. I think we should.
Yeah, let's put that on Twitter. We're going to blame Dooley and Robbie Andrew for
I'm for that. I really am. I think it's great. Can I get you to make one quick comment before you go?
Yeah.
What lessons can we learn from the SEC championship game? And what lessons can we learn and pass on about the will to win?
Well, I think the way we competed, you know, we could have laid down, buddy. You know, we were down, 17 and 18 points at one time in that game?
35-17.
Yeah, we could have laid down and, you know, the mighty Alabama and just, you know, got blown out. Yeah. But I think it shows you the leadership from Trask to the other seniors. You know, Pitts wasn't a senior, but he was a leader. Grimes, Tony, some of those offensive linemen. You know, I know people are all over the offensive line for not great run blocking, but
they protected.
They protected extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just thought we played extremely hard. We could have just thrown in the towel.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they got us to the SEC championship game. Mm-hmm. And that's what Dan had been missing in his 3 years here.
Absolutely.
To start getting the goals and get Florida back where it needs to be competing every year for the SEC. First thing you got to do is win the East. Well, we won the East. Hopefully the young guys on this football team understood what it took. And obviously
beat Georgia.
You beat Georgia. This year it took a little bit more because of the weird situations. But it's been rough. It's not only been rough on the student athletes and the coach. It's been rough on everybody, the fans, everybody around the country.
Yeah.
It's been a weird year. Hopefully it's going to change and we'll have a regular year and a spring ball. I don't know if we will. But I think, you know, the year Kyle Trask had, his career, even though it wasn't real long, was phenomenal. I am extremely happy for him. Before we get to Travis McGriff, I wanted to get your thoughts. It's crazy to me. You know, I don't go on social media a lot, but I was looking and it's almost like Trask ain't even a damn Heisman contender anymore.
Well, he was on my ballot. I mailed mine in yesterday.
Right. I understand. But you know what I'm talking about?
They got flavor of the week.
The only thing I can think of is because we have three losses. You know, I know Tim won it. Yeah. I think he had four losses. I think Lamar Jackson had three.
Yeah.
So, that's fair. I saw where Deontay Smith is the favorite. Devontae Smith's the favorite to win it now.
Well, we'll see. But here's the good thing. It's about math. I've been voting this thing for a long time. Think about it. The number of votes that you got, the players. Alabama has three. If you're sitting there in Birmingham, Alabama, which one of the three are you going to vote for? Probably all three at Birmingham. So by the fact that they have so many good players, who's the best player? I'll be honest with you. I can't say who I voted for because it's against the rules. But I'm the guy who scored five touchdowns looked pretty good to me, okay? It's tough choice to make with three guys. So if they divide those up and Trask is the one guy getting some first place and a bunch of seconds and thirds, why couldn't Trask come in the back door? No,
I agree. I just think it's very weird.
It is weird.
It's not like he went out and threw three or four interceptions and we got blown out. He played extremely well. And and now they're talking about Trevor Lawrence. Now, I think Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback out there.
But he didn't play enough.
I agree with that. So, anyway, all right, buddy, we got to take a break and get to Travis McGriff. We'll talk to you tonight, my man.
All right. Thank you very much. Talk to you.
Yep. At Center State Bank, we put business first. We are the largest community bank in the state of Florida and understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. Center State has four convenient Alachua County locations to serve you better. Center State Bank member, FDIC. Going to take our first time out of the pro. When we come back, we'll be joined by former Gator wide receiver number 3, Travis McGriff. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios.
This is Shane Matthews. Thank you for listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning. You can also check me out on Inside the Huddle with Steve Russell and the head ball coach, Steve Spurrier. Tune in every Tuesday during football season on WRUF 98.1 FM, 850 AM at 10 o'clock in the morning, or find us on your favorite podcast platform. We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Ribs, Doreen Wiebe, Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Davis Gainesville Chevrolet, Miapa Latin Cafe, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Radware for all your promotional needs, Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, TB Financial, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Dar Shakow Insurance. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, you can visit our website, potupwithshane.com, and click the advertise button or call Freddie at 352-284-3733. Again, thank you for all the great businesses that support the show. Please remember, if you like what we are doing here, thank our sponsors and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Celebration Points, where the Gators come to celebrate with premium brands like Bass Pro Shop, Palmetto Moon, Medici's, Nike, The Keys Grill and Piano Bar, and opening soon, Dave & Buster's, and coming spring of 2021, the HBC's new restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill and Visor's Rooftop Bar. We will see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators come to celebrate. We're going to go back to the Titan MR Hotline, and we're joined by former Gator wide receiver Travis McGriff. Good morning, Travis. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you guys?
Doing good. Hey, wanted to get you on. You know, the season is pretty much over now for the Gators. 8-3. Not, you know, I think they play, you know, 3 losses by a total of 12 points. You know, I know it's tough to watch all the games, but I'm sure you watch quite a few. Just give me your assessment of what you saw this year with the Gators.
Well, you know, Shane, you mentioned the records. First thing you think of, 8-3, if you didn't pay attention to the season, would sound, at least for Florida standards, a little bit like a mediocre season. Coming into the LSU game, you know, Florida had a chance at the college football playoff, was headed to the SEC title game, and obviously everybody knew Alabama was going to be a favorite, but Florida had a fighting chance. And so a lot of momentum coming into the LSU game. And then obviously we dropped the LSU game. We battle Alabama in the SEC title game, but can't come up with the win. So I think for a lot of Gator fans, and you certainly know as a player, to end on what feels like a very negative note kind of stinks. But all in all, I thought it was a productive year as far as progress. I was super impressed, as I'm sure you were, with Kyle Trask's ability to throw the ball. Really, with the absence of a dominant running game, you know, didn't really have a running game that scared anybody. Most people knew that if we're going to be really productive on offense, we're going to have to throw the ball, and we did it anyways. So I was super impressed with him. I was impressed with Kadarius Toney's progress. Obviously had a heck of a year. Kyle Pitts is a matchup nightmare and a heck of a player. Defensively, you know, didn't stop people a lot, but that's kind of an epidemic in college football right now. Yep. With the evolution of offense and the way people can throw the ball and all the different things they can do to you. So I thought it was a good season. It didn't end on the note that we all wanted it to. I think we were all holding out hope that even though we dropped the LSU game and the college football playoff looked like it was out of reach, if maybe you can come away with an SEC championship and maybe slip in the back door of the of the college football playoff. But even if you didn't, my goodness, if you could win the SEC title, you know, what a heck of an accomplishment. Everybody realizes, I think, now how hard that is to do. So all in all, a good year, but still lots to improve on. And obviously they jump right into that, as you know.
Yeah, we got a Facebook Live here brought to you by Meldon Law. It's from Dan. He says, thanks, Travis, for that last TD in Athens. One of my favorite games I've ever attended. I always remember that TD at the end. Is that the one that Coach dialed up to get over 50?
Yeah. Yeah, the one that he claims he didn't really know would set the record as far as the largest margin of victory by an opponent. You know he knew that. And really, Shane, it was a simple play, a very simple play. I think we were on the 10 or the 12, and Eric Kresser was in at quarterback, and I think the receivers were me and Jacquez Green, and I was the outside guy. Quez was the inside guy, and it was just a hitch corner concept. Outside guy, which was me, runs a little five-yard hitch, and Quez ran the corner. Kirby Smart was in on that play playing safety, which was which is kind of funny. But yeah, but what was crazy is they fell way off of me. They dropped to take away the corner. And so I just caught the ball on like the five and just kind of trotted in untouched. Wow. And so we get blamed for running up to score, but it was one of our most basic passing plays. And they just did a bad job of covering it. But, yeah, that was the one that did put us over the top, set the record.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Kyle Trask. You know, your dad, who does the color for the Gator Radio Network, was on Trask years ago when he'd watched practices.
Yeah.
You know, I tell everybody, you know, his story, everyone knows, is phenomenal. But he's smart, he's accurate, and throws a catchable football. And if you can do those things, you have a chance to be pretty dang good. And he had great players around him. Did he remind you of a Spurrier type quarterback?
He did. And you know, it's funny because I, as I'm sure you do, you get into conversations all the time, people asking you what you think about him. And as you mentioned, my dad really liked him for a long time, but he reminds me of all of Florida's best quarterbacks, whether it was you or whether it was Danny or whether it was Rex. You know, the ability to anticipate, to be accurate with the football, to make good, decisive decisions is really the key to playing quarterback. You know, nowadays they do like quarterbacks that can run and dual threat, but those are hard guys to find. The Cam Newton, the Tim Tebow, the Dak Prescott, those guys don't grow on trees that can throw it and be really legitimate runners. So when you get a quarterback that can stand in there, can make great decisions, you know, Kyle has an even cool temperament, a lot like you did, a lot like Danny did, a lot like Rex did. And he just makes plays. And as you mentioned, it helps when you have a lot of talent around you, but he's the trigger man. He has to get it to him. And I thought he did a fantastic job of that. I really can't say enough about him. And I think we also got to give Dan a little bit of credit. Because as we both know, the way they played offense this year is not really how Dan in the perfect world wants to play it. He wants the quarterback, you know, involved in the run game and the defense really having to account for him in the run game, whether it's his own read or a little bit of option, not a ton of it, but he wants the defense to have to account for that, because it forces somebody else in the box and it gives you nice matchups outside. But, Dan did a good job calling and dialing him up for Kyle, but, you know, to me, Kyle's he's an All-American caliber guy. I really think he is, the way he played. And, you know, again, with LSU and Alabama, there was some mistakes in those games. Certainly he wasn't the only one, but all in all, heck of a year. I'm not sure of this, Shane. You probably know off the top of your head, but I think he had over 4,000 yards throwing. Yeah. Was on just a ridiculous pace of touchdown passes. And no cupcakes in there. I mean, these were all SEC games. So just got to give the guy a ton of credit. I'm really impressed. And I've not talked to you about this, but my guess is you're going to think the same thing I do. He's an NFL guy, and he's going to go play in that league. And I don't know that he's a starter, but that really doesn't matter. He's going to go play a long time in that league at a minimum as a backup. And given where he came from, you know, not starting in high school and nobody really believing in him at Florida. I guess McElwain had to believe in him enough to give him a scholarship, but everybody kind of counting the guy out. You just can't say enough about his persistence and his confidence to hang in there and, you know, end up being one of Florida's great quarterbacks. Super impressed with him.
Yeah, you never know if you're going to be an NFL starter. I mean, the Trevor Lawrences of the world, yes.
Right, exactly.
But he's a guy who, because he's smart, he's a good teammate, and accurate, yep. And he's going to know the playbook. He's the kind of guy that's going to last 8, 10, 12 years for sure.
Yep.
At Chris Doering Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doering Mortgage today, 352-244-0840. Speaking with Travis McGriff on the Titan MR hotline from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Travis, I want to ask you about Kadarius Toney. You know, mm-hmm. going into the season, I felt like, not in a negative way, but it was almost like he was the most overhyped player we've ever had here because, you know, he's our next Percy Harvin, but he was always injured and, you know, he'd take a jet sweep and reverse field and lose 8 or 9 yards. And, you know, as a play yep. caller, you can't trust him. But I thought he yep. was the most improved, one of the most improved players I've ever seen put on a Gator uniform, and man, did he have a great year.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. For up until this year, Shane, he was the guy that really frustrated me. And the comparison to Percy Harvin, I thought was not even close. As you mentioned, he's a guy that's very, very elusive, but he does not have explosive speed like Percy Harvin did. So Percy didn't dance as much as Toney does. But Percy could run away from pretty much anybody on that field. And Kadarius Toney is really not a fast guy. He's very elusive, and he can make you miss in a phone booth. But after he makes those moves, he doesn't explode and run away from you. He just keeps dancing. And that was what frustrated me, and I'm sure that's a lot of what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't agree more. From the previous years to this one, and I think you got to give Billy Gonzalez and the coaching staff some credit on this one, They really helped him evolve into a really nice receiver. You know, did a really nice job getting open. He still has his tendency to want to dance and make you miss, but I thought he did a better job of getting upfield. And goodness, I think he had 70 catches, which is, you know, one of the better years in Florida history, and a bunch of touchdowns. And you know, really, really was our go-to guy minus Kyle Pitts. I mean, when Kyle Pitts was in the game, Kyle Pitts was the number one threat. But Kadarius Toney was a close second and had a monster year and, you know, did a great job working inside and finding voids. And he was kind of their movement guy, you know, move him around, put him here, put him there, get him matched up with somebody inside and had a heck of a year. I wouldn't have thought he could do what he ended up doing this year. I didn't see that one coming at all. So really, really impressed with him. And his ability to be coachable. Shane, you know as well as I do, sometimes these guys they come in with a lot of hype and, you know, there's some talent there and they think they're used to doing something one way. They got away with it in high school and they're not always open to coaching and evolving as a player, evolving away from maybe what they think they were. And he did that. He turned into a really good receiver as opposed to a guy that, you know, you throw him a bubble screen, you hand him a jet sweep, let him return a punt, see if he can make a play. But in the flow of a normal structured offense would have been a hard guy to trust. He became that. He became a guy that you really could trust and one of our top guys.
Yeah, no doubt. Talk a little bit about Pitts. You know, he just amazes me. And, you know, some of those throws Kyle throws to him, I'm like, no, don't do that. Great throw. Yeah. Great throw and catch, yeah. You know. He just trusts yeah. him. His catch radius is ridiculous, and he's got great body control for such a big guy. I mean, everybody talks about it, you know, and they've never seen anybody like him. I mean, obviously, you got to think he's going to be a star at the next level, right?
I think so, especially with the way they play offense now and moving people around and tight ends and matchups and, you know, more so, Shane, than when we play nowadays, you know, quarterbacks, they will throw into tight coverage. And, you know, the term everybody likes to use is throw you open. But whether that's the back shoulder fade or, you know, throwing it at a guy's back shoulder in the seam, He is incredible with those plays. And just like you, sometimes Kyle would throw the ball and I'd see the ball coming in and I think no way he's making that play. And he made it. And he didn't make it 50% of the time. He made it like 80% of the time, 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Just fantastic catches, as you said. Great body control. He's a really good route runner, too. You know, his stems, the way he gives you a great stick, puts his foot in the ground at the top of his brakes, explodes away from coverage, is able to use his length and his size. He's exceptional, and he's got fantastic hands. You know, sometimes guys can make great catches, but they'll drop the routine catches because their concentration isn't great. And actually, Kyle Pitts last year had a couple of those moments, had none of those moments that I can remember this year. I just wish he could have gotten a full season, took that absolutely brutal hit against Georgia, missed some time. And I'm not quite sure what was going on with the LSU game, but he missed that one. But he's exceptional. I don't know that we've had a guy at Florida quite like him. And there's a route. Shane, you'll probably remember it. I'm going brain dead on who we were playing. It was in the swamp. We were going into the south end zone, two wides to the left. He was the inside guy, and he runs a little pivot route. And, you know, watching him get out of that break, push inside to the slant, pivot, and come back out of that, I mean, he did that like a small guy. He did that like a – he did that every bit as good as Kadarius Toney would do it, and he's 6'6", 6'7", whatever he is. And just caught it and walked on in the end zone. So the things that he can do are unique, and he's a better blocker, I think, than he gets credit for. But he'll be a first round draft pick and a guy that will probably play a long time in the NFL. And I think will be a nightmare matchup, up there too.
Yep. Got a text here for Travis McGriff on the Titan MR text line. It says from Daryl, could you ask Travis, what was the hardest hit that he ever took as a Gator? And who was the best defensive back he ever faced?
Good question. Let's go with the best defensive back. Champ Bailey would have been the best one. Champ was really, really good. Played against him, I guess, 3 years when he was at Georgia. Fernando Bryant was another good one that was at Alabama. Goodness, Vanderbilt had some good ones. Corey Chavis. Dwayne Goodrich was a good one at Tennessee. So a lot of good guys, as there always is in the SEC, as there always are. But Champ Bailey was a little bit of a different level. He just, you know, just so athletic, could run and great body control and was a long rangey guy and physical. Let's see, biggest hit.
You didn't have any hits like Kyle Pitts got, did you?
No. Goodness gracious. That was a train wreck. Let's see. I took a pretty big hit. I think it was from Deion Grant, who was a Tennessee safety in 97 in the swamp. It was kind of on a cover two post, Shane. I was coming inside and got whacked pretty good up in the air. And I got caught on kind of a shallow cross against Florida State in 98 in Doak. But luckily I escaped with nothing too brutal. You know, you get the normal hits that some people might think are big, but when you're playing, sometimes they're not so bad. So those two, but nothing like Kyle Pitts. I'm a small target. Kyle's a huge target. He's easier to catch like that. I tried to slip under him, slip through him, you know, tried to avoid those things.
Travis, last thing for you. You know, we've had so many great wide receivers come through the University of Florida. And, you know, one of my favorite trivia questions when I talk to Gator clubs is who's the all-time single-season yardage record holder at the wide receiver position. And, you know, you get all these, you know, Ike Riedel, Carlos Alvarez, you name it, but it's Travis McGriff. I don't think people realize that. You have more yards in one single season receiving than anybody that's ever played here. What's that mean to you, buddy?
You know, it's kind of cool. I guess it's very cool. And I think when I left Florida, Shane, after that record was set, and actually at the time it was the SEC record as well, and Carlos Alvarez was the guy that had it previously, you really didn't think it would stand very long, you know, with Coach Spurrier at Florida and the way we were throwing. And we had had a string of 3,000 or 4,000-yard guys. I think Doring set it off in 95, and then Riedel had a 1,000-yard season in 96, and Quez had one in 97, and then I had one in 98. I think Daryl Jackson had one in 99. Jabbar Gaffney had one in 2000. And then maybe Taylor Jacobs had one. And then after that, nobody had one. So I just kind of thought, well, it'll fall. And then, it just hasn't. And, you know, the way they throw the ball now and the way they have extra games, I think in 98, we did not go to the SEC game. So that record was set just on 11 games, not 12, but now, you know, they'll get the 12th game. And then if you play in the SEC game, there's 13. A bowl game or the playoff games, those all count statistically. So, you know, somebody could conceivably get 15 games now, and you think, you know, if somebody was on a roll, they could certainly get that record. But they haven't yet. I'm sure it'll fall at some point, but it is pretty cool. Especially like you said, Shane, as many great receivers as Florida has had through the years, it's one of the schools throughout the country that just has a fantastic wide receiver tradition. It's a position that's easy to find when you're in the state of Florida. There's a lot of speed here. There's a lot of athleticism here. And then there's a lot of guys out of state that want to come play football in the state of Florida. So, you know, talent is never short at that spot around here. So it'll go down someday, but it's cool to have it for now. And it's cool to have had it as long as it stood.
Yep. Can you give me a quick Coach Spurrier story? We got about a minute and a half.
Oh, goodness. You put me on the spot, man. let's see. You know, the best one, I don't know that we can tell this on the air, is maybe the underwear story that you've told me a couple of times. Let's see what else. Golly, Shane. Can't believe you did this to you. You give me one, and that'll spawn my memory. Give me one.
Well, what about the? I don't know if you can tell the Nababi story on air. David Nababi.
Yeah, not real PC. Not real.
Yeah,
PC.
We can't.
Actually, you know, let's do this. Let's go with the Nick Chiarelli story. So it was very similar to the Nababi story. So Nick Chiarelli was a walk on wide receiver from Florida from 95 to 99, and Nick was having a bad practice, and we were watching the practice on the tape, and dropped a couple balls, and routes weren't real sharp. And you know how he does. He just kind of says, you know, he just kind of starts talking to himself, and he keeps rewinding the tape, watching Nick come out of his break. And you just know something's coming. And you know, Nick's getting nervous. He says, Chiarelli, repeats his name like five times. Chiarelli, you got to stop running them Italian routes, my man.
Italian routes.
So you know, Italian routes. You know, whole room falls out, and you know how it was, Shane. Every day, every single day in a meeting, there was some type of comment like that to somebody. And when he was most funny was when he's trying not. He wasn't trying to be funny. He wasn't Correct. Funny when he was trying to be funny. He was hilarious when he was just being himself and talking. And you know, you miss playing and all those kind of things. But I think what we all miss the most is sitting in the meeting room with that guy and just listening to the comments and the quips and the quirks. And it was just comedy hour, you know. Yep. And there's nobody like him. You know better than anybody. There's nobody before, now, since. Just nobody like him.
Nope. And last thing here before we let you go, Double D is listening on Facebook Live. He wanted to wish you a happy holidays, Travis. He says, more 200-yard games than any other wide receiver in the Spurrier era. So Double D's listening in. We appreciate you listening in. But, Travis, appreciate you, my man.
All right, Shane. I'll talk to you soon, buddy. Thank you.
All right. That's Travis McGriff. Join us on the Titan MR Hotline. Comfort Temp at Comfort. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. This month, get a free maintenance plan with every residential duct cleaning purchase, $199 value. Service departments open 24/7 for your convenience. This day in sports, 2019, New Orleans wide receiver Michael Thomas sets the NFL record for most catches in a season with his 144th. It broke Marvin Harrison's 143. Folks, appreciate you tuning in. Tomorrow we have Mike Bianchi and JC. Today's show's a wrap, brought to you by RapSpot. Be safe out there. We'll see you tomorrow.
Trying to get the fans Fired up, second down and 10. Matthews rolling to his right, in trouble, can't find anyone. Now he throws it for Harrison Houston, who makes the catch. He's in the open field. Harrison to the 20. They're not going to catch him. Touchdown, Gators.